in a deeper relationship with you than I've known before. And that could be fasting foods, it could be fasting certain drinks, it could be fasting social media, which I've heard is a really tough one. I do that most of the time anyway, so it's not a big one for me. But some of you spend hours a day on social media, and it would be very costly for you to fast that for 21 days, to not engage with social media and to spend that time in prayer and in the Word and engaging in a relationship with your heavenly Creator. And for some of you, it would be your morning cup of coffee, and for some of you, it would be you fill in the blank. What is very meaningful in your daily life that you would say, God, I'm going to put this on hold for 21 days? Maybe you like really need to get a hold of God, and you're like, I really need like an upgrade in the Spirit from you, Lord, and I'm going to fast everything but water for 21 days. If you've never fasted before, I don't encourage you to do that one, because it's not pleasant. But fasting is simply me saying no to my flesh and yes to my Spirit. And it does make you suffer. It is painful. It does cost you. Like tomorrow morning when I wake up without coffee, like just don't call. Yeah, don't call. No, it's not that bad. But definitely the next few days I'm going to have a serious I need caffeine headache. And my body's going to say, what happened to the sugar? And my body's going to say, what happened to all my yummy, delicious foods I like to eat? And I'm going to have to constantly tell my body no. And it's going to remind me to take a moment and interact with my Lord and Savior and pray and step in to a relationship. So I highly encourage you to join us in that. Finish it well. 21 days, pretty short piece of our life. Finish it well. Long term, the expanse of my life, I need to finish well on the day that I pass from this earth to the next. Long term, finish well. How did I represent Christ as a follower and believer in Him with my life unto my death? So I want to show you a couple pictures real quick. This first one is where my book started. Like, how many of you would just jump online and buy this book? This was my original first drawing from the night that God gave me this dream about this book. And I could have just left it at that and printed some copies and saw, like, how's it going to go? But in my head, I saw real clearly the pictures and what they would look like and the beautiful colors and everything that went in the book and is now available in print. But this is how it started. And often our journey starts like this. And it's just, I mean, if you saw the rest of my page, it's a mess. It's just stuff written here and here and nothing's in order and it's all just chaos. I was just writing at 2 a.m. that night of this book that God had put in my heart. Said, I want you to do this, which is a pretty simple thing, kind of. Except for Arby's not a writer. English is his absolute worst subject. Like anything to do with writing and literature is not me. Like math and science, social studies, those kind of things, I'm great. It's like this is not something that was ever in me until God put it in me and said, will you do this for the purpose of teaching and training the next generation through literature? Some of the principles of God and how to act and interact socially with those around them. And then, of course, on top of that, got to do it in honor of my friend Bob. Well, so this picture turned into the next picture, which looks a whole lot better, right? Like, finish well. See it through to completion. And you have to go find the book if you want to see the rest of it, but those are the two differences of finishing well and not finishing well, but coming up with a thought or an idea and like, well, there it is, there it went. That's a short term. It was tough. When I first got this dream and this idea from God, I started looking into publishers and what it costs. I mean, what does it even cost to publish a book? I have no idea. I started looking at the dollar signs and I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't afford to publish a book. But I still have this thing in my heart that God put there to deal with and work on and do. And I kept working on my end of what I could do. And I'm like, how do you save, like, that's a lot of money to publish a book that you're probably not going to get your money back on. And so this idea was in my heart and in my mind, and like, how do I find an illustrator? How do I find a publisher? How do I? I had to chase those pieces down until one day I'm sitting in Pierce, Idaho. Good things happen in Pierce, okay? Pierce, Idaho. And there's these couple of ladies on Main Street doing a book signing at Pierce Days that I know, and so I was going to get one of their books signed. And I'm talking with Kari's sister, Dana. And begin like I had this dream about this book. And she's like, well, Arby, we publish books. I'm like, really? Like, I knew they wrote books. I didn't realize they published them. So we sat and talked. And she goes, yeah, just like send me your sketches, send me your ideas, and we'll talk. And we'll work with you. And they're by far way less, if you're publishing a book, they're way less money than most of the other resources. And they do an amazing job. So that's where it began, and we began doing this, and I'm like, well, now I need an illustrator because you saw my illustrations, and those were like my good ones, really. Like, if people have trouble distinguishing your stick people, like, you shouldn't draw. Like, art's not your thing. And then we got to this point of finishing it. And being able to see it online and available to people. And then getting to watch this amazing video of this young person opening it for Christmas. And to see his ecstatic face of, ah! Super exciting. But finish things well that God places in your heart. The journey may not be easy. It may be very difficult. My friend Bob that this book is dedicated to. He passed at the age of 44. Young man, right? Super young. Beautiful family. Ran a great business for our community. Loved people. An amazing man. He finished well. I walked with him the last months of his life, walking through his journey of his battle with cancer. And he never said, God sucks, God didn't take care of me, God didn't look out for me. He never said that. He always gave glory to God and said, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know if he takes me, my family will be okay because God's got him. And I know if he takes me, he has another plan and purpose, and I'm okay with that. And half the time when I would meet with him, it was like he was encouraging and strengthening me when I'm supposed to be there for him. But that is finishing well. Walking through the darkest valleys of our lives, not knowing what the outcome's gonna be, and still saying, God, you're worthy. God, you're mighty. God, you're glorious. And I'm gonna serve you and I'm gonna honor you with my very last breath. And that's what he did. That's our long journey. How do you honor God well with your whole life? To your last breath. Let's look in the Word of God. Some examples, some instruction for us, some pieces we can carry with us as we walk out our life, as we journey and finish well. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 7. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. There's a lot of instruction in this passage. Of course, Paul in this passage is addressing Timothy. Paul's at the end of his life and ministry. He's given his final instruction to his son in the faith, Timothy, saying, this is what you need to do. But I believe most and all of these principles are accurate for us as well. When you're going through life, preach the word. The word of God, the truth of his word, should be an overflow out of us because of the time we spend in it. In our words, in our actions, in our deeds, they should reflect Christ and the truth of his word. My friend Bob laying there, day by day getting sicker. It was an outflow of his time he spent with God. Like, God's got me. The truth of God's word, God's got me. Whether I live or whether I don't, God's got me. That should be the outflow of our lives. Our lives should daily be the word preached and how we act and interact with those around us. Be prepared. Be prepared to engage people around you with the truth of God's word. Whether you're in season, out of season, oh, I can't talk to you today, I'm not prepared. No, we should always be prepared with God's truth because it should be hidden in our heart. Use the word for correcting, rebuking, and encouraging. While doing this, we're to use patience. Anybody have patience problems? Okay, there's a lot of honest people today. I like it. Along with patience, we should use careful instruction. You ever give instruction to people and they're like, what? Huh? No, it says use careful instruction, instruction that they can follow to their level and ability. Do you know people are looking for instruction? I think if we're in tune with the Spirit, we'll pick up on it a lot more. I have people constantly asking me for advice in parenting and marriage and relationships and business, and but I could have my ears closed to all of that. I'm just walking on by. But it's in the subtleties of everyday life. If you're in tune with the Spirit, you'll pick up on it. If you're in tune with the Word of God, you have useful instruction to give them. Because I often start with, this isn't my advice, but what the Word of God says in this situation is, how do you engage in relationship with those around you? There's a whole instruction manual about that. The Word of God talks extensively about relationships and how we're to navigate those. Finances, it's in the Word of God. Talks quite a bit about finances, how we should govern them and run our lives accordingly. What do you need instruction in? It's in the Word of God. Do not be misled. Follow the truth and not myths. You know, there's many misleading things out here in the world around us. Satan is always trying to deceive and trick us. Always trying to get us to believe a myth and not the truth. But what does the truth of God's word say? Did anybody feel the explosion or rattle here this last week or hear the noise? Like, have you seen some of the things people are saying about it? It's pretty, I don't know what the truth is. But there's plenty of myths out there to believe or think about or. But does it really matter in the big picture? Not really. God's still sovereign. God's still good. There was a noise disturbance of some sort. It was probably an earthquake, but I don't know for certain. But there are many distractions, and we could get on that and chase it and run it down and defend it. But is that meaningful as we're finishing well? Or is it more meaningful to lead someone to Jesus Christ and the knowledge of him as their Lord and Savior? To come to know and understand that there is a God that loves them, cares for them, died for them, made a way for them to inherit the kingdom of heaven for eternity. There's much more value in that. So stick to the truth, not to myths. It also instructs us to keep our head. Keep your head, keep your calm, keep your cool. Have you ever been in an intense situation with somebody that doesn't keep their head? Now you have extra people to take care of. It's like, it would be better if you weren't here right now. I had this one guest one time. Had him lion hunting and wolf hunting. Like, he would get so excited when he saw an animal, he would actually vomit. Like, seriously. He's like, I've done this all my life. Like, every time I go hunting, I get so excited, I just puke. It's like, that's not keeping your head. Please don't get excited while you're talking to me. But the Word of God instructs us to keep our head. I think COVID was a really good indicator of this. If you remember 3 years ago, almost four now, when COVID hit, like some of us that love Jesus lost our ever-loving minds. Like, really? And we lose it over all sorts of things. But where's your head at? Regardless of what happens, my God is in control. Regardless of what my circumstance, my situation looks like, my God is in control. We should have that cool, calm head about us. Like, it's not making sense here. Like the Israelites leaving Egypt, like I see Pharaoh and his army and they're all armed and we're not. But God's got us. Or we can freak out and run around crazy. But keep a calm and cool head. Endure hardship. Being in God's will does not mean you get to escape hardship. The Word of God tells us to endure hardship. Go through it well, giving glory and honor to God as you go through hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. All of us should be doing the work of an evangelist. Seeking the lost. Letting them know that there's a Savior who loves them. That's not just on pastors or teachers or prophets or evangelists or apostles. But that's on all of us, the body of Christ. Complete your mission. The Word of God calls us to complete our mission or to complete what God has called us to do. And that looks different for each one of us. We have things that we all, the body of Christ, need to be engaged in and doing. And then we have things that, yes, Arby, this is yours and yours alone. You are responsible for this. Or put your name in there. You are responsible for your piece of what God has called you to do in his kingdom. Complete your mission. Finish well. As Paul closes out, he says, I've fought the good fight. He didn't go around picking fights, but he fought the good fight, the fight of faith. He ran his race, finished his race, and now he's passing it on. He tells Timothy to keep the faith because Paul understands that he's not the only runner in the race. But he has to run his race well because of those that have gone before him and ran the race and passed it on. It's like a relay race if you ever watch or engage in track. It's like, I've ran my race and I'm finishing and here's the baton. And now it's your turn to run. And I ran my section of the race well because those before me ran well and I need to carry it on and I need to pass it off well to the next runner. So that they can run their race well. Generally, in a relay, you have your second fastest guy first, your two slowest guys in the middle, and your fastest guy on the tail, or your anchor. But it's not about an individual, it's about the team. Church, Christianity is a team sport. We all have a piece to run in the race. We all have to run well because of those who we stand upon their shoulders that came before us and those who are still on ahead of us that we will hand the baton to and say we did well with our portion of the race. Now it's time for you to finish your race and keep the faith. Matthew 24, verse 4 through 14. Matthew 24, 4 through 13, or 14. Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am the Messiah,' and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birthing pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come." So that finish or that end, Christ is talking about his return at the rapture when he returns for his church. We all know that's the big end according to the Word of God, the race that will finish well. So throughout this passage, there's a lot of instruction. There's a lot going on. The first piece I look at is watch out. Christ is warning us, watch out. Watch out for deception. Don't be deceived. Don't be misled. Don't be discouraged, but watch out. Be watchful. It's like running through the woods in the dark without a flashlight. It's not a good idea. Jesus tells us to watch out, meaning look, be aware, pay attention. What's Pastor Arby really saying to us today? Is that really in the Word of God? What was that scripture he used? I'm going to look that up myself. I don't believe him. Oh, wow, it really is in there. Or wow, it's not. I encourage you to do your own digging in the Word of God. I do try to be truthful and accurate in all that I say and do. But I'm fallible. I'm a human being. I can mess up. I can call Elijah, Elisha. I've done it before. I've missed names and dates and places. But I'm not trying to deceive you. But the Word of God tells us to be watchful as the end draws near. There will be wars and rumors of wars. Anybody hear about any of that today? Is there any wars going on in our world? Any rumors of wars going on in our world? Like, I don't look at the news a lot because it just disgusts me mostly. And it really just stirs up a lot of unhealthy emotions and, like, it's not useful. But I do look at it once in a while just to keep tabs on what's going on in the world around us. What's happening? Of course, we know we're getting ready to go into an election year. All that's going on. There's lots of rumors and myths, and if you look in the greater world, wars and rumors of wars going on and happening right now. What does the Word of God tell us about that? Don't worry. It's all going to happen. It's all going to come. It's going to take place. Like, you can be aware of it and pray about it. and intercede on their behalf, but don't let it steal your heart and your mind and cause you to fear and lose sight of what's really important. Most important is telling people about the love of Jesus, that there is a God who loves them, that cares for them, that paid the ultimate price for them to inherit the kingdom of God. So the nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes. See all that stuff going on? Seems to be increasing. Possibly the birthing pains of the beginning of the end. But not something we should be so captivated by that it distracts us from following Jesus and leading others to him. It says we will be persecuted, even put unto death. We will be hated because of the name of Jesus. Those are things to expect if you're a true follower of Jesus. There will be wicked times. There will be no love, or love will grow cold of many. Things to expect. The big difference is how are we finishing in those moments? How do you finish well when you're hated? How do you finish well when you're persecuted? How do you finish well when there's no love and only wickedness around you? Because that's the higher calling that Christ calls us to be like him in those moments. What did he do when he was on the cross? Father, forgive them. These men that had just made fun of him and punched him and plucked his beard and pounded a crown of thorns into his head and nailed him to the cross and maybe even took place in the whipping and the scourging. Jesus looks down in love in that moment and says, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. That's finishing well. That's what we are called to. That is our higher calling in Christ Jesus. And he wraps up that passage, or that piece of the passage, with stand firm and be saved. Those who stand firm to the end or finish well will be saved. He tells us there's possibility. About 20 years ago, I was guiding a mountain lion hunt out of Wilderness Gateway up on the Locksaw. If you've ever hiked the Locksaw, you know it's pretty steep and fairly ugly. And most mountain lions don't stick to the roads and trails. And if you really want a good time, go hike the Locksaw in snowshoe season. It's super not fun, but it's a great workout. So I was up there guiding this lion hunt, and we had two guests in camp. We're looking for two lions in the course of this week. And like the first night, it dumps a foot of new snow on top of a foot of already snow. The second night, it dumped about 18 inches of snow on top of 2 feet of snow. And the week just kept getting worse, and the snow kept getting deeper. And we would wake up and shovel everything out and have to plow the road out to the highway. It was work every single day. And our hunters were like, you know, let's just rebook the hunt. It was almost unhuntable. Like, to get places that would normally take me 15 minutes would take me an hour and a half. And when you're in snowshoes and up to snow to your waist, it's just not fun. And you have to step clear up to your waist with your snowshoe and like smash the snow down every step. And it was miserable. But you know what? We have hunters in camp. We're pursuing mountain lion. And it might be at an extremely slow rate, but that's what we're doing. Day after day, day five comes around. And it's exhausting. It's tiring. Of course, I was 20 years younger then, and you know, it was easier then. Things were easier 20 years ago. Anybody else say that? So we're going out, three of us every day, looking for lion tracks. And like, nothing's moving. The elk and deer aren't even moving. There's so much snow. Like, the only place they move is up and down the highway. And like, my dog would get out of my snowshoe tracks and you'd just see a tip of a tail like this above the snow line. And quickly he would find his way back into my trail. Like, that wasn't fun. Finally, the last night, and then we had the next day to hunt. it warmed up enough to turn to kind of slushy snow rain, which is really not fun either, but it at least compressed all the snow to about 2 feet of fairly firm hard packs. So you're only sinking in 6 or 8 inches instead of 30 inches. Much easier to walk in for those of you who don't spend time in snowshoes. Still not pleasant, but much easier. So the last day of the hunt, one of the guides and I, we were like, well, you go up this drainage and I'll go up this drainage. Then we're at least close enough. We have radio contact if we get something going. Hopefully we can find one lion. And so I get going up my ridge and get up in there a couple of hours. I find this lion track. I'm like, hey, I got a lion track, and it's pretty much fresh. It's on top of the rain. It's fresh. And I got my one old dog with me and my one young puppy with me. And I turn loose, my dogs start going, and pretty soon I see a white-tailed deer come by. This is never a good thing. Pretty soon I see my dog come by. I'm like, this isn't good. And this was before the shot collars were out and all the fancy gear and the GPS and all that fun stuff. So I'm like, okay, but I hear my old dog going and working like the direction it should be, and she's proven she's not chasing junk. But my puppy's chasing deer and going the opposite direction of my other dog. And I'm like, oh, this isn't good. So I go with my dog that I know is on the lion, and I know we're going to get a cat in a tree, pretty certain. So I follow, I listen, follow, and I hear her bark over the next ridge, and sounds like she's treed. So I call the outfitter and say, hey, start bringing the guest in. We got a cat in the tree. I'll go in and double check, but like start getting in here. And I cross back over and get over there. This is like 4.5-5 hours into my hike. And the cat has treed on the ridge I came up. Like literally 3 feet from my snowshoe tracks, it's in a tree. And he's like, how do I find you? I'm like, follow my snowshoe tracks. Like the cat made it really easy from where it could have been. And on his way up, he goes, well, I hear another dog. I'm like, yeah, it's my pup. Don't worry about him. He's chasing deer. He's like, he sounds like he has something caught. And I'm like, I promise you, I'm ticked. So I'm like, I promise you he doesn't. Like, if you see him, you can probably just shoot him because he's chasing deer. Of course, he wasn't going to do that. But he's like, well, I'm going to send the one hunter up your snowshoe tracks, and I'm going to go see what he's doing because it sounds good. And so he does that. The other hunter's coming up to me. And pretty soon he calls on the radio and says, we just got a really nice tom. I'm like, what? Somehow accidentally chasing deer, my dog found a mountain lion and chased it and caught it. He's like a 10-month-old puppy, so he has lots of grace. He's a very young dog. I'm like, okay, well, the other guy's still coming up the trail to me. Cat's still in the tree. He shows up, gets his cat as well. About 40 minutes before dark on the last day. Finish well. Like, we could have gave up when it was really hard and tough. And there were lots of distractions. Like, you know, hot springs looked really nice as opposed to snowshoeing in deep snow. Hanging out in camp around the campfire and hot coffee and food sounded really nice next to hiking through really tough snow. There were lots of distractions that could have been better, but it wouldn't have got us to what we were pursuing. In our spiritual life, it's the same way. We should be pursuing the heart of God. The heart of God is for his people to know his everlasting love for them. Our goal should be to get the love of God to his people, those who don't yet know it, who haven't yet had that experience with his love, his compassion, his grace. And if we're not careful, we'll get distracted. We'll say, oh, well, this looks easier, this looks better. And sometimes it's gutting it out day after day, going through those hardships, showing up, being present, saying, I don't care what the conditions are like, I'm going to work as hard as I can for you each and every day. And I'm going to put in my 10 hours a day looking for lion tracks, whether it's in great hiking conditions or horrible hiking conditions. And showing up in people's lives saying, I'm going to love you whether you hate me or love me. I'm going to serve you whether you persecute me or bless me. I'm going to come alongside you regardless of whether or not our beliefs line up or not. Because there is a God above who loves you. And that's what finishing well looks like. It's coming alongside in the love of God with those around you, showing them there is a God who loves them and cares for them. Psalms 23, verse 1 through 6. Our last passage of instruction, at least for today. This isn't for like all life. It's just today. I love the 23rd Psalm, one of my favorite passages. Psalms 23, 1 through 6. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Finishing well, getting to the house of the Lord forever. That's our aim point. Not just me going there, but taking those around me with me to the house of the Lord forever. Several pieces in this passage to pay attention to as we finish well. Number one is follow the guide. The guide being Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, our Heavenly Father, the Godhead. Following his lead, following his instruction, following his direction. He promises to be with us and not leave us. As you're running your race of life, follow the good guide, the Lord Jesus. Remember to take time for rest. You know, sometimes you just need to sit and rest in the Lord and let him refresh you. Let him strengthen you. Let him encourage you. Say, God, this battle's not my own, but it's yours, and I'm going to trust you to take care of it. Sometimes worry and anxiety overtake our lives. Trying to control things are out of our control. Instead of saying, God, I'm doing my part, and you said you'd do your part. So as long as I'm doing mine, I know he's going to do his, so I shouldn't have to worry about that. Quiet yourself before the Lord. Sit in his presence. Listen. It's one of the hardest things for me, to sit and be quiet. It's a discipline that I have to practice. I have to discipline myself to sit and be still and be quiet and listen. For some of you, that's going to be easy, and other disciplines will be tougher. God says he will refresh us. He will put us on the right path. If you're following the right guide, the Lord Jesus Christ, he will put you on the right path. If you're listening to his instruction, doesn't mean it's the easy path. It's the right path. I can't tell you how many people I've guided through the woods and like, this is where we need to go. And they're looking at me going, I don't want to go there. I'm like, I promise you, this is the right path. This is where we need to go. There are things that look easier that aren't. But God will put you on the right path, and he does it for his name's sake. We We do it for the glory and honor of the Lord. Even though we walk through the darkest valley, sometimes finishing well doesn't end up like we thought it would. Doesn't look like we thought finishing was going to look. Sometimes it's very different. Sometimes it's through hardship, it's through trial, it's through pain and anguish. Sometimes we get to end well and it's a celebration, and it's a joyous time. But sometimes it's painful, it's sorrowful. Regardless of your ending, finish well. The Lord says he will walk with us through the darkest valley, and we don't need to fear evil. He says he'll comfort us, even in our hardest days. He will come alongside of us and comfort us. I can finish well if I'm being comforted. It says he'll prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Does that sound like a happy place? Not really. Like, I don't want to eat with my enemies, do you? If I'm being real, God says, I'll take care of you even in the presence of your enemies. I will be your food. I will be your portion. Finish well. God's anointing is upon us. He anoints our heads. Our cup should be overflowing with his goodness and blessing. Your anointing comes from the Lord. The anointing is his hand upon you to carry out that which you could not carry out on your own. The strength, the courage, the boldness to walk through a situation that normally you would turn and run from. That normally you would say, no thanks. That normally you would be in fear or anxiety. But his anointing gives you that strength and that boldness to walk through it anyway. Do you know that God pursues you? Verse 6, surely goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely there means to pursue, to chase after like hounds after game. Pursue until they overtake. God is in pursuit of you until he overtakes you with his goodness and mercy. Do you know he's fighting for you? Do you know he is with you and for you, regardless of what's going on? Finish well, knowing there is a God who loves you and he wants to take you to dwell with him in the house of the Lord or in heaven forever. He's looking for you. Will you be found by him? Finish well. When I was in grade school, we had these great days. It was like the miniature Olympics, the last day of school. It was a play day, they called it back then. Like, you got to do all these different events, and you got to sign up for, I want to do this event and this event. And I forget how many, like five events you could sign up for or something. They had obstacle courses and races and jumping, and I forget all the games, but it was fun. It was a hoot. So there was this one kid in my class, because you went grade by grade, and there was this one kid that was always faster than me. And like, I always got second place in every race I raced against him because he was always first. And finally, third grade year, I had not bulked up yet. Still a skinny little kid. We were racing the race, and it was a new race. It was the long distance race, and they would set a different course every year. So you had to run the certain course and go around the right side of the cones to run the course. So there we are, third grade year, and he and I were always quite a bit quicker than the third and fourth place runners. So it was just between us, really. And we're running the race. I'm like, this is the year. This is my last year in grade school. This is the last year I can beat him, right? So I'm going to beat him this year. And we're running and we're racing, and we get near probably three quarters of the way into the course, and he starts running on the wrong sides of the cones, and I stayed on the right side of the cones. He still beat me to the finish line, but he ended up getting disqualified for shortcutting the race. So yes, he was still faster than me. And if he would have ran it correctly, he probably still would have beat me. But because I ran the race correctly according to the rules, I got the first place ribbon that year. God wants you and I to have that first place ribbon. And he's given us a whole manual to run this race of life well. He said, Arby, you want to know how to run the race of life? Here's a gift from me to you. Enjoy my word. Enjoy my promises. Enjoy my truth. But you have to read it to know it. He knew he was fastest and he was going to win, so he didn't really care about the rules because he was going to win. I needed every advantage I could get to win. So I was paying attention to the rules. God wants us to run our race well. He gives us guidelines, a manuscript for life, if you will. He wants you and I to finish well. And not only for you and I, but the generation beyond us needs us to finish well, so that when we hand them the baton, they can keep moving on and be launched from our platform that we built for them, and not a hole they have to dig out from. As you run your race, finish well. Maybe you would look at 2023 and go, man, this just hasn't been a good year. I've not done well. Life has not been good. I'm looking forward to 2024, and I'm going to do better. I'm going to do more in 2024. Maybe you faced some hardships in 23 that you're like, I never want to do that again. 2024 is going to be different. We're making some changes. We're going to rearrange our life, our schedule, our priorities. My word for 2024 is reset. So I've been sitting with God. What does that look like? What do I need to reset in my life? What do I need to recalibrate? I always seek God for a word. What do you want me to focus on this year? Hopefully you guys do that too. What do you want us looking into, God? How do I become the man of God that you've created me to be? Be the example of your love and your grace to the people around me. Where am I falling short? How can I do better? I hope you ask God those questions yourself in your lives as well. Father, we thank you, God, for the race that you've set before us. God, we thank you for the guidelines, for your word. God, the Holy Bible that gives us instruction and insight. God, we ask that you would open our eyes, open our hearts, our minds, God, to your Holy Spirit, God, as we press into this next year ahead of us. God, that we would have better discernment, better judgment. God, keener sight to see that which you've laid out before us. God, the race, the course exactly. God, that we would run as you have called and directed us to run. God, that we would meet the needs of those around us, God, that you would put in our path. God, to be your hands extended to in love and mercy. God, in compassion and words of encouragement. And Father, we just thank you that you don't, God, you don't send us out blindly, but you give us clear, God, as we finish well, God, these lives that you've set before us. God, both in the short term and the long term. God, that you would quicken our hearts. God, that we would bring you glory and honor in all that we do. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.